This is Daguerreau's Masculist MGTOW Flyers. That is two, three-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Daguerreau's. This is flyer number 456, entitled The Masculisting of Men from a Future Global Historical Perspective. Description. This flyer imagines a future historian writing in the 2050s who specializes in the history of gender roles in the 20th and 21st centuries. He shows how feminism and masculism transformed society, so that in his future era, both sexes lived pretty much the same lifestyle, with both feminist and masculist movements having achieved what they set out to do. For example, the masculists got the divorce courts reformed, the para, that's paternity rejection right, legislated, women fipped up, etc. Now the flyer itself. The Masculisting of Men from a Future Global Historical Perspective by Prof. Dr. Hugo Daguerreau's. Email profhugodaguerreau@yahoo.com. Website profhugodaguerreau.wordpress.com. This flyer differs from most of the others in that it attempts to look at the more global influence of masculism from a future historian's perspective, who reflects on what influence the rise of the masculist movement had on society, writing about it in a book chapter on the history of gender roles in the 20th and 21st centuries. This flyer places itself in the mind of this future historian, who is looking back from the future several decades from now, who tries to assess the impact that the feminist and masculist movements had on the evolution of our gender roles and how we thought the two sexes should live their lives. Being a historian, writing in the mid-21st century, he is able to take a broader view, looking down on society from a greater height to see the bigger picture, examining the longer-term consequences of the rise of feminism and masculism, until neither social political movement was needed, so that both movements faded into history as they became irrelevant, that few people gave any mental energy to, since nearly all the problems that these two social political movements focused on were essentially solved, so people simply moved on to other concerns. This future gender roles historian, given that he only had a short book chapter to fill, would necessarily mention only the highlights of the development of gender politics over the period from the 1950s to the 2050s. This flyer gives an overview of what the contents of that chapter will probably be. Of necessity, it has to be speculative, since the future of gender roles has not happened yet. But speaking as the author of this flyer and as someone who has thought a lot about both feminism and masculism, I think that the following chapter contains a lot of future truths. That is, that the gender political developments envisioned here have a reasonable probability of coming true. This future gender roles historian would probably be looking for the highlights in the development of gender politics over the century-long period from the 1950s to the 2050s. Here is the envisaged chapter. It starts with feminism, one of the largest and most important social revolutions of all time, since it fundamentally changed the lifestyles of billions of women. Historian. Quote, and the final end quote for this long quote will be at the end of this flyer. Quote, there were major gender role and gender political changes over the middle and later decades of the 20th century. The biggest, of course, was feminism, which caused millions of women to switch their traditional gender role from being a housewife and child raiser to being more of a female careerist. In the later decades of the 20th century, millions of women were fipping up, that is, becoming fips equals financially independent persons, by bothering to get a career-competent education and pulling their own financial weight. This, in turn, allowed men to stop being manslaves to women, that is, working for women, for decades of their lives, and to start thinking about alternative lifestyles for men. In the first half of the 20th century, health standards improved so that parents did not have to suffer the trauma of the death of half of their children, as was common in the previous century. Thus, children survived and families were large. For example, my own mother had 11 other siblings. Ad-libbing, that's me saying that, not the historian. Contraceptives improved so that women were better able to control the number of kids they wanted, which was definitely less than a dozen, which is quite normal in their grandmother's time, when there were no contraceptives and families lived mostly on the farm, so there was always work for children's hands to do. In those days, children were an economic asset, but as the economy specialized over the course of the 20th century, more nuclear family couples moved out of the farms and into the cities and suburbs, where children lost their ability to contribute to the labour of the farm and hence became economic liabilities, that is, cost sinks. So parents were strongly motivated to limit the number of kids they chose to have. Then in the 1960s, a revolution occurred, namely the male invention of the contraceptive pill, which gave women a very reliable means of controlling the number of kids they wanted, which from then on was typically 0, 1, or 2. Reliable contraception caused everything to change. Suddenly, women could become as sexually hungry as men, since with reliable contraception, there was no risk of pregnancy if they were taking the pill. So the sexual revolution occurred in the 1960s and 1970s. With only a small number of kids, upper middle class women found they had time on their hands and became bored with being housewives, as their mothers had been. So the second wave feminist movement was born, which emphasized the importance of women to have careers like men, to fulfill themselves, to challenge themselves, and importantly, to free themselves from being financially dependent on a man who worked for her. So women banded together and raised their feminist consciousness by talking amongst themselves about the problems of being a traditional housewife, and then moved on to change society the way that women wanted. They pushed for and won a string of social legal changes. For example, equal pay for equal work, equal access to the professions, no-fault divorce, the abortion right, the establishment of the family, that is, divorce courts, lashing out at how men oppress women, for example, rape, sexual harassment, domestic violence, and the like. These second wave feminists, in brackets, in contrast with the first wave a half century before, which saw the suffragettes fight for the right to vote for women, close brackets, then took majority control of the divorce courts. And since, at the time, they knew nothing about masculism, in brackets, which was several decades into their future, close brackets, they kept their traditional expectations of men, that is, seeing men as the family's principal breadwinner. With no-fault divorce, and with feminists in control of the divorce courts, men began to be financially slaughtered in them. For example, a man lost custody of his children at a rate of 90%. He had to hand over his house to his ex-wife so his ex-wife could raise her kids in it. He lost half his wealth and stuff to her, was forced to make child payments to his kids he was barely allowed to see. And if his ex-wife was a real careerless housewife, he often had to pay her alimony for the rest of his life. Millions of men were financially massacred and had their lives ruined in these feminist-controlled divorce courts. So as a reaction, the MGTOW movement grew up. MGTOWs were mostly young men who saw the horrors of what the divorce courts had done to their fathers, their uncles, their older male friends, so decided that marriage and paternity sucked for men, so rejected marriage, rejected paternity, and spent their money on themselves. That is, they went their own way. not working for decades for a woman, a housewife, hence the name of their movement, MGTOW, M-G-T-O-W, that is, men going their own way. The MGTOWs, however, were younger men who grew up with feminism, since most of them were active in the decade of the 2010s, were first harbour men, that is, men under 40. So feminism to them was a given. Older men, who were adults at the time of the rise of second wave feminism, saw what the feminists had done in changing the laws, so wanted to see men do the same, that is, change laws that were more equal to men, especially in men ferrying the divorce courts and pushing for the scrapping of alimony, making custody of kids after the divorce joint by default, scrapping the sharing of the wealth and assets, etc. These more politically and legislatively active, angry men called themselves masculists, which was the obvious male equivalent of the term feminist. That is, they were men's libbers. They reacted to the apolitical and passive attitudes of the MGTOWs, who passively walked away from marriage and paternity, but did not fight feminists, nor pushed for the men faring of the gender laws. The masculists pushed women to fip up, to become FIPs, that's financially independent persons, by bothering to get a career-competent education that would allow them to be FIPs as adults and not be fluffies. In brackets, a fluffy, based on the word fluff, was a masculist term for a traditional woman who expected to be able to live off the money and labour of a man for decades. Close brackets. Masculists argued that women, thanks to men, who gave women science-based medicine, a life expectancy into the 80s, household gadgets, the contraceptive pill, higher education, etc., had a career window of half a century, so had a powerful moral obligation to fip up or be seen by masculists as manslavers, manslaving a man for decades, that masculists saw as a far greater gender crime than anything the feminists were hurling at men. Masculists claim that even rape was small potatoes compared to Fluffy's decades-lasting manslaving parasitism of men. Thanks to the internet, the ideas of the masculists spread across the advanced nations, and millions, if not billions of men, were influenced by masculist ideas, many women too, who became female masculists. The masculists, labelled feminists, who remained stuck in the idea that gender oppression was a one-way street, that men are the oppressors and women are the oppressed, as fluffy feminists. Since these feminists still had traditional fluffy expectations of men, seeing men as cash machines to pay for women to have babies. This is the end of part one.